Hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is Amanda Moxley, the Healthy Wealthy Biz Mentor and the author and creator of End Your Money Drama, the book, and End Your Money Drama, the program, and of course, of this POP in 2015 International Interview Series. And I'm on a mission with a vision to really work and coach fun-loving, free-spirited women how to create profitable, portable, and playful businesses that rock and pop. And I have gathered about a dozen of my super successful 6- and 7-figure businesswomen friends from around the world, in the United States, Australia, Canada, through 2 places in Europe, I guess, Italy, and also in Spain, and all over the United States. And, you know, really bring these women who are super successful, not only in business, but also in relationships, in family, and also in health, and to give you the secrets of how they catapulted themselves from where you could be right now to having a profitable business and a lifestyle that we used to only dream about. And, you know, we want you to know that you can easily do these same strategies and get the same great results. And we're spilling all of our secrets, the good, the bad, and the truly heinous, to make 2015 the year that you pop your biz. So today I've got Joanna Lindenbaum, who I have known for, since 07, probably 08 maybe, for a long time. And, you know, we've been friends and been colleagues and been supporting each other. She's on the East Coast, and I'm so happy that she's here because she's amazing, super awesome businesswoman. And Joanna has supported thousands of women internationally to achieve business success and personal happiness by teaching them to tap straight into their feminine wisdom alongside concrete marketing, visibility, and business building techniques. Her clients create massive success while learning to love and value themselves deeply. She is a sought-after thought leader in the field of entrepreneurial happiness and self-love. Joanna is the creator of the Your Sacred Business Program, an entrepreneur training intensive where women make breakthroughs, forward movement, and income growth in their businesses and lives. So welcome, Joanna!
Thank you for having me. That was such a great intro, and I just have to say I was totally chuckling with the good, the bad, and the heinous. I was like, oh, yeah, there's been heinous.
Oh, yeah. I know. Well, you know, so we're going to roll up our sleeves and get to that. So the interview is about 20 to 25 minutes, and I just want to – we're going to go really fast, go lasering through here, but let us – will you fill us in on your story and share with us, like, what was your biggest breakthrough, and then also you know, what would be some of your heinous moments in business?
Mm-hmm. yeah, so, you know, there's so many different, like, parts to my story and twists and turns, but the one that I'll share today that I think will be really powerful for women that are listening has to do with when I finally became a business owner. And what happened for me, and you know this, Amanda, is what happened for me is I was actually in the art world, and I liked my job, and I was doing well. I was living in New York and hanging out with artists and you know, doing all that. But I knew that I wasn't really doing the work that was meant for me. On the side, after hours, I was working with women. I was facilitating women's experiences and women's rituals, and I was doing a little bit of coaching, but I wasn't really taking it seriously because I had this jobby job in the art world. And what happened for me was, like, I would start just waking up in the middle of the night sometimes, just, you know, sweating, just, you know, with this thought of, it's really time for me to leave the art world and the museum world and to start my own business, to really be doing this work that I love so much. But I ignored myself, and I ignored, you know, that intuition, and I ignored the messages that my body was giving me because it was, you know, seemed preposterous to me at the time. It seemed preposterous to, like, leave a salary and health benefits, and I had been publishing in the art world, and I had this, you know, at age 27, I actually was a curator at a major museum. You know, it was, like, unheard of, and I wasn't going to leave all of that. Well, anyway, you know, I just didn't listen to myself, didn't listen. And then one day I woke up and I was, you know, I had been working this crazy hours kind of thing. And I barely had time to even look at myself in the mirror when I woke up. I just brushed my teeth without even really looking at myself because I had to get to work. And I noticed when I was brushing my teeth that something seemed weird when I was brushing my teeth. Like, I don't know, I couldn't open my mouth so well or whatever, but I was so not paying attention to myself and my wisdom that I just blew right past it. Got to work early, went into my little cubicle, was at my computer doing work for a couple hours, and when I finally came up for air and I came out of my cubicle to talk to my next door neighbor, the girl in the cubicle next door, a friend of mine, a colleague of mine, as soon as she saw me, her whole face changed and she said to me, "Joanna, you need to get to a doctor or a hospital right away." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And basically half of my face was paralyzed. The left side of my face was completely paralyzed, completely drooping. It looked like I had two different faces. The right side of my face was totally normal. The left side, not normal. And over the course of the next hour, I couldn't close my eye or even open up the left side of my side of my mouth. And when I got to the doctor knew right away, diagnosed me with Bell's palsy. But here's the part of the story that I think is really important. So I, you know, got diagnosed with Bell's palsy and all of these different medications, and she said, you know, take these medications, you'll get better. And I said, well, what if I don't take these medications? And she said, well, there's a really good chance that your face isn't going to improve if you don't take them. And so mm-hmm. I got the prescriptions filled. I took the first round of the medications. There were two of them, and as I took them, I knew that that wasn't going to fix things. It might fix the paralysis, but that something else was going to happen because I knew I wasn't living truly how I was meant to live. I was working too much, and I wasn't doing the work that I was really meant to do. And so I decided, and it was so hard, but I decided I wasn't going to take the medication, and I decided instead that I was going to really work on the inner pieces that needed to be worked on so that I could have the courage to start my own business and to do the work that I really, really wanted to do. And as it turns out, that was the right move because my face did fully recover. It gave me the courage to leave my job and to do more of the work that I really love. And, you know, I haven't looked back since.
Wow, that is phenomenal. Unbelievable. I don't think I really heard that. I don't remember if I knew that part or it's been so long, but I will never forget that. Amazing. So then what happened? Then you decided to go out and you had this courage and you really left your job. And so how has it been for you to create a multiple six-figure business and be this global leader?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't. I said I never looked back, but that doesn't mean that there haven't been, some, you know, major obstacles and some moments of crying, quite honestly, along the way. But when I finally did leave, I was really excited and really rah-rah and passionate and all of that. But as it turned out, I didn't really know anything about building a business. And mm-hmm. so for me, what I did is what my default is when I don't know how to do something or when I go into fear, I was deeply in fear, is that I just overwork. And so I just went into working 70, 80 hour weeks, work. But here's the thing, I didn't know what I was doing and it was just busy work so that I wouldn't feel bad about myself, so that I wouldn't feel lazy, so that I wouldn't feel like I didn't have it together. So I was working, and I was got a couple of clients here and there, but I really wasn't moving forward in my business. And I had this, night of the soul moment. Finally, I got so overworked that it was I was kind of a little alienated from my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband, and, all this stuff. I had this, dark night of the soul moment where I realized that my business wasn't going to grow if I was going to continue to overwork. Like the overworking, the constant doing wasn't going to make it happen. I knew that I had to, in a real authentic way, really work through my fears around success, around failure, around visibility, around taking in goodness and abundance, all of that. And so I stopped. I stopped all the working for a little bit. And, I mean, I kept some things going, but I really turned inward to do what I call befriend your fears, and I really worked through those fears. And that was really getting over the first big hump, because once I was able to do that, then I was able to know, you know, I can take this action and this action, but, you know, and they were the right actions. They were the aligned actions, as opposed to, like, let's just do more, but just spin wheels all the time. So
yeah,
that was definitely the first big hump there for me.
Oh, gosh. I know. I think people can get so addicted to that busy work. So, and, like, they think they're being productive, but it was, like, at what expense?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're... Yeah, so then...
Absolutely, and the busy work is usually just a cover-up for, like, a deep fear around something is what I've come to see for myself and then for so many women that I've supported.
Yeah, and then it's, like, not even, like, income-producing work. It's just busy work.
Yeah, it's just tiring, exhausting work that makes you feel bad about yourself because you're not getting anywhere.
Yeah, it's like treading water. So then what happened? So then, like, what would you say, like, how did you pop your biz and get over that, you know, how did you,
yeah,
like, create a successful business?
So, you know, to simplify, because a lot of things happen, but to simplify, what happened next was this, by working through those fears, by really befriending them, where I came out on the other side was that I really believed in myself, and I really saw the deep value of the work that I was offering and that I was providing. And because I had that confidence, because I really saw the value, because I was able to see how the potential of, you know, how I could help more people and how important it would be for them, what started to happen was that my marketing changed. All of my marketing, so whether it was my copy, whether it was when I was going to networking events, whether it was when I was speaking, or teleclass, you know, even asking for referrals, is I started speaking from my heart. I started speaking in a much more authentic way. I started speaking the truth as I saw it with a capital T. And I mean, it may sound crazy, but this is just, I believe in this so much now, and I teach women how to do this now. When you can speak from that authentic place in your marketing, when you can speak your truth with a capital T in your marketing, when you can really stand up for who you are, stand up for the change that you want to see in the world, and just be so crystal clear about that in all of your outreach, the people that are meant to learn from you, the people that are meant to work with you, they're going to hear it. Their ears are going to literally start ringing, and they're going to be attracted to you, because that truth and that standing up for what you know is more magnetic, I think, than anything else.
Yeah, it's so true. That takes a lot of courage. You were speaking your truth, and you were articulating that, and then you now are helping other women do the same. So that's cool.
Yeah.
You teach what you want to learn.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, it's so important. Like, really, God help us. You know, if we can't speak our truth, then what are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah.
Just
it's
crazy
true.
Life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that so many of us, when we start out in business, we think that we have to use somebody else's voice, right? Like whoever's popular at the moment. Or we have to, you know, share ideas that seem to be fads at the time. Or we're too scared to stand up for, you know, an injustice that we see, whatever it is. But actually, the exact opposite is true. Like the more that you can just really authentically stand in your unique brilliance and in what you really have to say, the more your people are going to come to you and hear it.
Mm-hmm. So true. And even like, because I know for me, like with marketing, a lot of emails, I've used a copywriter for a really long time because I'm not in general a salesy person, or I'm not really good at that hook and that, you know, drafting that copy. And like, and so what would you say for someone who's, I mean, you probably have a copywriter too, or do you not?
I actually don't. You know, it's funny, and it goes back to this very same thing. Like I am, for a year or two, I had a copywriter and she got really close to my voice. But I never got the same response when other people were writing for me than when I was writing for myself. So I have different team members might write this and that, but for any really important pieces of marketing, I always write it the first draft so that the words that are really in my heart come pouring through. I know probably a lot of people wouldn't recommend that, but I have to say I have such great response to the things that I write, and I think it's because it really starts with what's in my heart. Mm-hmm. I let it go through first. Mm-hmm. And that's the suggestion that I would give to anyone, right? Because so many people, when you're starting out, you maybe can't afford a copywriter or whatever it is. You don't need one. Like, yes, they're really great, and I teach my clients some, like, formulas you can use and this and that, but what's more important than all of that when it comes to writing copy is that you, and particularly if you have writer's block, this is what I always recommend doing, is sit down and connect in with what you really know to be true. Pretend like, even if you're writing an email to 1,000 or 5,000 or 10,000 people, pretend like you're writing to the one person that's your ideal client that needs to hear what you have to say the most, mm-hmm. and write heart to heart from yours to theirs. What comes through will be really powerful.
I love that. I teach that too, and that it's so true, like just heart to heart, like you're just sitting there with that one person and you're just, you know, you're narrowing that down to that one person, and that is so, it's like a little love letter. That's so sweet. And it's true, like in those early days, you don't have money, and even in the later days, who wants to spend money on a copywriter when you could just write a love note?
Yeah, it's true. No, and now I do, like, I enjoy writing marketing because every time I sit down to write any marketing, including Facebook posts, right, by the way, because marketing, just like a newsletter can be, like any time I sit down to do it, now I'm like, oh, my God, here's an opportunity for me to connect with the people that I'm meant to touch and inspire and lift up. Like, I cannot wait to speak to them.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. So sweet and so easy, just heart to heart, you know, eye to eye, soul to soul. So what would you say so I'm loving the gifts that you're sharing. It's not like all these marketing tips, and it's just more about speaking your truth, going from your heart, really just in that capital T, like having the courage instead of looking around and copying what's popular. You know, it's like if everyone's on a 50 Shades of Grey kick, doesn't mean you need to be, unless you are, right? And really going with your heart. So what, if you could like break it down to like 5 steps of how you popped your biz, what would you say those were?
Yeah, so number one is befriending your fear. And I call it befriending your fear because when people often think about fear, they think about like getting rid of your fear, busting through your fear, hiding from your fear. But what I have learned, and this is like so core to what I teach women, is that, you know, whenever you're in the process of growth, fear is going to happen. It's just natural in the process of growth. But if you try to blast the fear, break through the fear, you know, disseminate the fear, you know, like the fear is just going to get stronger. But if you can make friends with that fear, whether it's a fear of visibility, a fear of rejection, you know, whatever it is, if you can make friends with that fear, it doesn't have to be so big. It doesn't have to be so loud. It can begin to shrink, and then you can work with it, and you can walk through it to get to the other side of where you want to go. This is so important because, like I said, fear is part of the growth cycle. It's part of any time you stretch and you evolve, so you want to really know how to handle your fear. So that's number one, is make friends with your fear. And then from there, the next piece I'd say is be your unique self. And I know that that can sound a little trite and like, oh, you know, I've heard that before, be your unique self. But I just want to break it down a little bit. You know, in today's world, especially with awesome things like Facebook and Twitter and different like social media and internet, we all know what, you know, we know what other people in our fields are doing. And that can be a really beautiful thing, but it can cause things like, you know, jealousy or competition or self-judgment or, you know, all that stuff. And then it can also cause, and I've seen this happen for women that have come to me, it can cause you to feel like you need to do, you know, either create your offerings the way other people are creating them or do your marketing the way other people are doing them or speak about the things that other people are speaking. But what the truth is, the best way for you to build your business is to start with you, who you are uniquely. You know, what's the kind of marketing that really you love to do that's going to speak to your ideal client? How are you going to set up your programs, your offerings, your products that are really the best way for you to teach what you're meant to teach and help others in the ways that you're meant to help? What's the content that's really yours? What's the style and the energy that's really yours? So you want to get really clear on all of those things from marketing perspective, from content perspective. You want to do it your way. Mm-hmm. Once you do that, then you can move into what we were talking about before, which is to speak from that truth and to speak from that unique self and to market in your voice, not in anyone else's voice. And to really speak for what you know to be true, because that's what's going to speak to your ideal clients and your ideal prospects. From there, sorry, did you say something?
I love it.
Oh,
go ahead.
Good. I'm so glad. You know, from there, there's so many other things I could suggest, but I'll share two other things that have been really, really helpful for me. The next is, and this is going to be controversial, but because I always speak from my truth, I'm just going to say it, especially if you're starting out, go grassroots first. What I mean by that is, like, there's a lot of talk right now these days about how, like, you can only build your business with, like, the highest, latest, greatest technology and online. And online is great, and I use a lot of online marketing strategies in my business. But honestly, especially if you're a coach, a healer, a teacher, when you're starting out, and even beyond when you're starting out, going grassroots, starting with the community that you have, sending out individual invitations to have, you know, conversations with you about your products, seeing who you know might want to host an afternoon where they gather their friends and you can do a free talk and then make an invitation from there. Don't underestimate the power of grassroots. It's intimate. It's very connected. It's a way for people to feel, to get to know you quickly in an intimate, really beautiful way. So I always really, really recommend those grassroots marketing for folks. Also, it's a lot less expensive than the technology piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I started my business, full-blown grassroots, and I still continue to do local.
Yeah, I still go back to grassroots. Absolutely.
I love it. And I mean, I just think it takes a long time to build your name online. And and even today, most of my programs, I've met them some, you know, maybe it was 5 years ago or a year ago, but I had some live contact. I think very good advice for popping your biz. Okay, keep going. You're on a roll.
Okay, so the last one for now that I'll just share is, and this is also like kind of a funny one, but it can make such an impact, is always put your clients before your marketing. So there's a tendency these days to just think like grow, more marketing. But here's the thing. The more results that you can deliver for your clients, the more your clients love you, the more your business is going to grow because you're going to create a reputation for yourself. So some people that know me and my business really well, they lovingly call me the referral queen, because a big piece of my business has been based on both referrals and also continuing clients. And the reason why I've had so much success in that, or one of the reasons, is because I've always put my clients before needing more and more and more, and I've built that reputation for being so solid and delivering what my clients need. So if you are in a place in your business where, like, you have a handful of clients or even more and you're wanting to build, yeah, for sure marketing, but remember, like, your peeps are the people that have already bought in to you, and they will spread the word for you as well.
That is so true, because getting those referrals and getting happy clients, and then they'll continue to work with you.
Exactly. Exactly.
I love it. And I know that you created an awesome gift to share with all of us. So do you want to talk about that? Or if you need a reminder, I have it here as well.
I don't have the URL, so you can I can talk about it, and maybe you can share the URL. I don't have it on me. But I have a really easy to use, doesn't take too long to go through it, soul-centered marketing guide. And I created it because so many of the women that I serve wanted to learn how to market in a way that didn't feel icky, that didn't feel salesy, that didn't make them feel like they were trying to be something that they weren't, but they wanted to learn how to grow their business in a way that felt really right and aligned and authentic to them. And so in this guide, I give some of my best tools and my best secrets on how to approach your business and create your marketing from that real soul-centered, authentic place.
Gorgeous. And we'll have that on the speaker page. And then we also have a little Facebook group called Pop Your Biz Betties. And hopefully Joanna will be joining us in there so you can meet and greet the amazing women in this community. And what a great gift you're giving us, and amazing tips. I hope everyone took notes. I mean, what she said was make friends with your fear, be your authentic self, go grassroots, and always put your clients before your marketing. So a lot of juicy gems in there. Thank you, Joanna. Where can people find, what's your website, just, you know, and so they can stay in touch with you?
Yep,
also,
it's www.soulfulcoach, SoulfulCoach.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Joanna. It's such a pleasure to have you. I love you, and I'm grateful for you, and thank you, thank you, thank you. And
you
thanks, everyone, for listening and being here on this amazing interview with Joanna, and I hope you learned a lot. And I'll see you over in the Facebook group. We'll be partying in there. Thank you. Have a great day. Namaste.